Looking with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 21, we continue our walk through the book of Acts. Drawing nearer to the end of the study of the book of Acts. And as you know, as you could tell from the beginning of the service, that we are planning a trip to Israel. And that's September of next year. And if you're interested, would like more information, you can contact me, or there are some travel brochures concerning the trip there at the Visitors Center, and you're welcome to take one of those brochures for more information. And for those, we've already had the initial meeting for that, and I'm sure we will have other meetings also. But if you have at this point made up your mind and said, I'm going, need you to go ahead and get online and get registered. We need to know where we are and who's going and get things rolling on that, okay? So, but right now, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of Acts, chapter 21 and verse 6. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them, we set sail. Running a straight course, we came to Kos. The following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Paul is accounting his journey back to Jerusalem. In verse 22, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. And when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with their wives, their children, till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear your word today. Speak to us, Lord, that we may understand. Speak to us that we may hear from you. I pray, Lord, that you will move freely among us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Convict of sin. Draw men to you. And give us hearts to respond to you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul. Paul, as I said, is on his way to Jerusalem. Now really, if there's one place that Paul shouldn't go, it's Jerusalem. Because they hate him there. As a matter of fact, they will want to kill him when he arrives there. But Paul is making his way at the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's directing himself to the city of Jerusalem. And he's traveling on ships. And everywhere the ships stop, Paul does the same thing. It says he seeks out fellow believers, seeks out brethren. And Paul, in that same concept, Paul arrives in the city of Tyre. Verse 4 says, finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. Now, I want you to understand that Paul, that word finding, it does not mean that we just happen to come upon believers. That word finding, it means to discover after a diligent search. So what Paul did upon arriving in Tyre, he's searching out fellow believers. And the reason is, I mean, this was Paul's common practice throughout his ministry. He wanted to be with God's people. He's facing the most trying and difficult time in his entire ministry as he sets his course for Jerusalem. They want to kill him. They will beat him. They will arrest him. They will verbally abuse him. Paul knows that this trip to Jerusalem, when he arrives in Jerusalem, it's going to be rough. And so what does he do? Everywhere he goes, he says, I've got to find God's people. I've got to spend time with God's people. And that's the first thing I want to point out to you today. Is that if you are a child of God, if you're saved, would you say amen?
Amen.
If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Here we go. You need God's people. Okay? You need God's people. Our people are fighting battles today that are absolutely overwhelming. Every week, it seems as though there is a marriage that's in trouble, or children that are facing drug problems, or temptations that our members are facing. There's depression, there's anxiety, there's battles at work, there's battles with friends, there's the spiritual battle of just maintaining your relationship with Jesus Christ on that daily, intimate level. And a vital part of what every child of God needs is a church family that is there for them as they face these battles. You need it. You may not realize it, but you need one another. I believe that a vital part of the support system or the spiritual support system of God's people are other believers, people of faith, because it is a war zone out there. You know, we come in here, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of feel sheltered. And it's a good thing, we should feel sheltered, right? But out there, it's rough. It's rough. And the greatest spiritual resource that we have, or one of the greatest spiritual resources that we have, is found among the brethren. Fellow believers who believe the same thing and have the same values that we all have. There is a wealth of wisdom around you. Look around. It's okay. Not at them. I mean, not at me. Look around you. Everybody's just kind of staring me down up here. Look around. It's okay to see the people around you. Do you know that those folks that are around you are pretty smart people? They are. There is a wealth of wisdom at your fingertips. Are you facing marriage trouble? Find one of these members that's been married 40 years and go to them and say, how'd you do it? I mean, obviously they know something. They've been married 40 years, right? You don't stay married 40 years without learning some lessons along the way. Beloved, I learned a lot of lessons along the way. One of the lessons is keep that lady happy. You know? Children, are you facing children issues? You know, our children are, I mean, they've got it the best that they have ever had it, and they have it the worst that they've ever had it. They're facing temptations in school. You know, when I was in school, you mess up, you just got the board and you got over it, right? They whipped people when I was in school. I got two or three of them along the way. But that's okay. You see, now you mess up our children. Now they mess up, it ruins their whole life. There's things out there that absolutely destroy who you are. I want you to see the battles that we're facing. Money problems, look around. There are people around here that know money. Not me, but you know. There are some financially intelligent people in this church. What's your battle? Seek out someone that you feel that has experience in your area, of, in the your battle area, and ask them how to do, what to do from here. I mean, look around one more time. Go ahead. Look around one more time. Do they look any smarter than they looked a while ago? See, they have a secret. Their wisdom is not their own. Their wisdom comes from God. Yeah. That's why you go to fellow believers. And beloved, you look around and you say, but Brother Doug, they're old. Yes, they are. They may not know how to work an iPhone, but I'll tell you what, they know how to be married. They may not know how to program a TV, but they know how to fight the battles that Satan throws at you every day. Let me tell you, we live in an age that has ceased to value the older generation. And we seem to honor and have great respect for youth. Let me tell you something. The years that I was young is when I made the worst mistakes. Why? Because I was young and dumb. And guys, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm telling you about me. But I look back, and many's the time that Beth and I have said, boy, I wish I knew then what I know now. Let me tell you, I want you to see the resource that's around you. Seek out believers. You say, but Brother Doug, if I share with them, then they're going to know I'm struggling. Let me open your eyes. We already know you're struggling. Why? Because everybody else is struggling. And we put on this facade and pretend, oh, there's nothing wrong, when we know inside that things are tough. And you need God's people to lock arms with you and carry you through this battle. Seek out believers. Don't, you know, and I understand there are professional counselors out there and all that's well and good. But I want to tell you, the best source of help that you have is right here among the brethren. Seek out the brethren. That's what Paul did. He's facing difficulty. And he goes to the brethren every time he gets a chance. Let's do me one more favor. Okay? Look at the person on your left. Look at him and smile and say, you need me. Ooh. Let's try it one more time. We get over the laughing part, right? Look to the person on your left and smile and say, you need me. Now look to the person on your right and smile and say, you need me. See, that's the point of this first point. So we realize we need one another. We need one another. Number two, share with believers. Paul found his believers there. And it says that they told Paul through the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. Do you realize what a big deal that was? I mean, verse 4 again. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Well, now, if you read Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, Paul said, I go bound by the Spirit to Jerusalem. So you've got this one group of people through the Spirit saying, don't go to Jerusalem. And you've got Paul saying, I've got to go to Jerusalem. Is there a conflict? No. I want to tell you what I believe is going on here. I believe that the Spirit had revealed to Paul, you need to go to Jerusalem. You will go to Jerusalem. But I also believe that the Spirit revealed to the church, to the people here of Tyre, that when Paul got to Jerusalem, it was going to be tough. And so their warning is, and the natural reaction is, if it's going to be bad, what? Don't go. Paul, don't go. It's going to be tough. And so that's what they're telling him. And Paul's like, I got to go. I'm bound by the Spirit. Paul, when you get there, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad. So we'd say, don't go. You know what they're doing here? They're actually just telling Paul the truth. Paul at this point does not need to hear, oh, you'll be okay. You go on, pal. It'll be fine. They're saying, Paul, you go there. It's going to be difficult. You're following the Lord. We get that. But Paul, it's going to be one of the hardest things you've ever had to go through. So think about it. They're simply telling Paul the truth. And you see, that's what you get among the brethren. Is the truth. That's what you should get among the brethren, is the truth. As a matter of fact, quite often I've run off people with the truth, to be honest with you. Because so many people really don't want the truth. But I want to tell you something. You do not need to hear, do whatever makes you happy. You need to hear the truth. You do not need to hear, get rid of that old man you call a husband. There's somebody better waiting on you. But see, that's what the world will tell you. Are you not happy with your wife anymore? Oh, that's okay. There's somebody else. Let me tell you something. That's not truth. That's a lie. And when you hear, it's okay, get ready. God understands. No, Jesus Himself said the only reason for divorce is fornication. And when you just get tired of your wife, beloved, let me tell you something. Suck it up, buttercup, and love her anyway. You said, till death do us part. You took that vow not only to her, but to God above. And you are accountable. But Brother Doug, I have met this other person. It don't matter. It does not matter. Well, Brother Doug, I really think God wants me with this other woman. No, He don't. That's right. You need to hear the truth. See, the world will tell you it's okay. Just do what makes you happy. It's okay. You're just a man trapped in a woman's body. Hogwash. Lies from hell. You need to hear the truth. That if you're doing things that are not in accordance with the Word of God, you need to hear what the Word of God says. And that's what brethren do. That's what we as brethren do. We share with one another. You do not need to hear it's okay to compromise. It's okay to live immoral lifestyles. You need to hear the truth. Don't settle for lies. Oh, that's what the world wants to hear. Have you noticed, you know, sometimes today I think I'm just about we're living in a world that truth doesn't seem to matter anymore. As a matter of fact, if truth is offensive, you go with the lie instead of offending somebody with the truth. And it drives me berserk, I'll be honest with you. You see, I'm a pretty black and white fella. If I've sinned, I want to know that I've sinned. If I've done wrong, I want to know that I've done wrong so I can repent. And you're free to point that out to me. Okay? I want to hear the truth. Because I need to hear the truth. I don't need to for someone to excuse my conduct. I need somebody to reveal my conduct so I can repent and get right with God. You see, that's what the brethren do. Oh, and I know Paul wasn't transgressing or anything, but they were simply, they needed Paul to know, guy, it's going to be tough if you go to Jerusalem. Most people would say, oh, go on, Paul. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Not God's people. God's people were honest. God's people were truthful. Look at the person next to you. To the left and to the right. Now look back to the person on your left. Tell them, I will tell you the truth. Well, I know this is a tough one, right? Look to the person on your left. Tell them, I will tell you the truth. Now look to the person on your right. I will tell you the truth. Now just announce, you can trust me. No, that's not enough. You can trust me. Okay. There you go. What's the point? God's people need to know that they can trust you with the truth. Okay? To hear the truth coming from you. That's what's needed in the world today. I mean, you know, there's so much that is wrong, and we can get nitpicky and we can whine and complain. But you know, the bottom line is, if God's people would just start standing for the truth and say, no, we're not going to buy the load of lies from hell that the world is buying into. We're going to stand on the truth. See, that's what sharing is all about. When you share, you're able to be honest. Then, we got to support the believers. I love what happened next. It says, verse 5, and when they had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. Isn't that cool? I mean, picture this in your mind. I mean, they have spent some good quality time of fellowship. They've loved on one another. They've warned Paul, Paul, if you do this, buddy, it's going to be rough. Paul says, I know, but I don't care. I got to do what the Lord leads me to do. So they say, okay. So they take their wife and their children, and they walk Paul out of the city to put him on a ship. I love the thought of seeing this Paul surrounded by a multitude of believers and their families. You see, that's called support. And when they got down to the shore, before Paul gets on the boat, you know what they did? They all knelt down. And they prayed for Paul. You want to do something that means something to somebody? Pray with them. You know, you often hear, our thoughts are with you. I'll be honest with you. If I've got a problem, I don't care about your thoughts. I care about, are you willing to come to my side and get on your knees and let's cry out before the Lord? You see, that's what's needed. That's what is the encouragement to the believer. See, that's what sets God's people apart from the people of the world. Is we care. Look at the people on your left. Say, I care about you. Look to the people on your right. Say, I care about you. Now, it's all words. till you're ready to show it. How do you show it? The best way you can care about the brethren is to get on your knees with them. Let me tell you. John 13 verse 35 says, "By this will all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, some people don't quite understand, don't get that, and you know, they think that church and church people's there, you know, just to fill my wants and my desires. That's not what a church is for. A church is about preparing you for spiritual warfare. Okay? That's what we're about. And the way that we prepare you for spiritual warfare is, of course, to give you the truth. But then to come by your side, get on our knees, and let's cry out to Almighty God, who is the power for the battle that you face. Listen, friends. Listen. You want to support the brethren? Pray with them. When somebody comes to you, and says, "Will you pray for me? I've got..." And they put this out. You say, "You bet I will. Come on. Let's get on our knees right here, right now." Because let's be honest. If you say, "I'll pray for you," and you don't do it right then, you're going to forget 90% of the time. You want to be a supportive brother? Pull them to the side. "Oh, please pray for me." "Okay, come on. Let's get over here. Let's get on our knees." And let me tell you, when we pray, pray from a standpoint of victory. You know what I discovered in my life? And this is confession time with me. I've gotten a little whiny lately. In my prayer life, I really... Oh Lord. This is going on, and bless them. These members have just got it so hard. And oh Lord, just help us through. We're just struggling to get... No. What I'm talking about is, "Lord, there's a spiritual battle going on. I'm tired of losing. I don't want to lose. Lord, give me the power to slam Satan back into the hell he came from. Lord, give me the power to save my marriage. Lord, give me the power to raise my children. God, help me to be the father that my children need to see. Help me to be the husband that my wife needs to see. Help me to be the spiritual warrior that my church needs to see." You see, that's what we're not doing anymore. We've gotten used to losing. I don't like losing. Amen? We won't say anything about yesterday's game. But I am telling you, I don't like losing. I don't care what it is. But I especially do not like losing spiritual battles. "Well, it's okay. I can't do anything." No, we can do it. Get on our knees. Cry out to God for the power. Because, you know, the problem is we pray these little wimpy prayers and it's like, "I know it's not going to do any good." No. You know what James says? James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask for it. But at the end of that, he says, not doubting. For if a man doubts, let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. You don't understand. You know, we don't stop and consider the power that is at our disposal. This is the God of the universe. This is the God that spoke all things into existence. This is the God who said, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." That's the God. We've got to realize the power there. We've got to quit whining them prayers out. Maybe you don't have that problem, but I get whiny every once in a while. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You see, we've got to operate from a viewpoint of victory, not from a viewpoint of defeat. I like Paul. I'll tell you, we go on. We go on there and we read about, and they put him on the ship. And he sails on. He sails on to a place called Caesarea. And in Caesarea, you know, they tell him the same thing. Paul, don't go. And they got bad to the point of they're crying and shed big old alligator tears. And oh, Paul, please don't go. And Paul says in verse 13, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready. I love that phrase. I am ready. Why was Paul ready? Because he had prayed up. He had been with God's people. They had prayed for him. They had supported him. They had shared with him. And Paul said, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. If that's what it takes, Paul said, I'm ready to go. See, this is not the response of a defeated man. This is the response of a man who knows he wins. How did Paul know? You know, when we follow, and we will follow the story, you know what's going to happen to Paul? He's going to get arrested in Jerusalem. They have to sneak him out of town because they're going to try to kill him. They get him out of town and take him back to Caesarea, and he stands trial before the guys in Caesarea, and ultimately he winds up being sent on to Rome. Where ultimately, according to belief, he dies. He's killed. And you say, Brother Doug, that doesn't sound like Paul won. Oh, yes, he did. Because you know what? Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul won. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my race. Henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me in heaven. Does that sound like a loser? No, he's a winner. Okay? See, Paul was ready. And in closing, the point of this message today is get you ready. Beloved, there's some battles going on. And I'm not talking about, you know, church members at odds with one another. I'm talking about spiritual battles that people are fighting, trying to hang on and not let Satan win. We've got to be a church that operates from the point of victory, not from the point of defeat. We've got to be a church who are willing to get on our knees and cry out to God for the spiritual problems of the brethren. I truly believe with all my heart that we live defeated more so than we live in victory. And that's why we get scared and we're afraid of what lies there. Oh no, not anymore. No more. Kind of made up my mind yesterday. I'm tired of being a whiny preacher. And it's not your fault. That's my fault. Doing a lot of whining lately. I don't know. Maybe you heard. Maybe you didn't. But I'm talking about in my relationship with God. I'm through whining. I'm going to start praying. There's a difference between whining and praying. We win. God wins. And because He wins, I'm on His side. Right? Are you a child of God? If not, you're fighting this battle alone. Okay? And I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is going to return. And that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the church is going to be taken from this earth. And beloved, all hell is going to literally break loose on this earth for 7 years. You know what? I'm going to skip over that part because I'm going to heaven to meet my Jesus during that time. Are you? Are you a child of God? Are you ready to go? But until that time comes, I need God. I need His power. I need His encouragement. I need His protection. I need His wisdom. And you do too. Maybe you're here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're fighting it alone. Don't do it. Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. And He offers that to you freely. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. He offers it to you here today. Forgiveness. Eternal life. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Invite you to come and receive God's forgiveness. Maybe you're here today and you're fighting the battles. Okay? Probably most all of us are. But I want to tell you something. We're going to have people up here who would like nothing better to get on their knees with you, lock arms with you, and call out to God on your behalf and pray with you at this altar. Maybe you're here today and this has reminded you, you know, I need a church family. I need people I can count on to lock arms with me and pray and seek God. We'd invite you to come and we'll receive you however we can scripturally receive you. But listen. Listen. It's a war out there. Don't go out there unarmed. Our Father in heaven, reminded today of how we need you. Of how we need one another. Father, I'm reminded today of the great sacrifice that you made upon the cross of Calvary. How you gave your Son as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for my sin. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for that sacrifice. But Lord, there are those here today who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you'll draw them to you. I pray that today they'll step out and they will call upon you for salvation. There are those here today, Lord, that are fighting the battles. Oh Lord, it's tough. They're hurting. They're bruised. They're beaten because of Satan's arrows and attacks. Lord, lift them up. Surround them and protect them. Hedge about them, Lord. Put Satan far from them. Lord, I pray for those who need to make a move. Whether church membership, baptism, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that today's the day they'll make that move. And listen to you and just do what you lead them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.